Take your Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. When you find John chapter 21, I want you to find verse number 20. Young people, no talking. John chapter 21, look at verse number 20. John chapter 21, verse 20. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the scripture together? John chapter 21, look at verse number 20. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. A bit of an odd passage of scripture for a Christmas sermon, but this is where I found my thoughts and heart in regard to what I wanted to say to you today and what I think the Lord would have me to say. So you'll see in a few minutes. Starting with verse number 20 of John chapter 21, the Bible says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I come without that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Look back at me for a moment. Twice in that passage of scripture, Jesus says to him, he says, what is that to you? What is that to you? Basically, he was saying, mind your business. You have your hands full with you. I'll take care of this other deal. And my sermon today, you're going to think that I've spent too much time with the Grinch. My sermon is called My Christmas Gift from Myself to Myself. My Christmas gift from myself to myself. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. A unique approach to the day, but God, I think we can help ourselves. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence. Lord, throughout all eternity, you knew that we would meet on this Christmas day. You knew who would be here. You knew what would be said. May we not miss the supernatural appointment that now sets before us. Take this sermon, reach deep into our hearts, and make a difference in our lives. May Jesus be glorified, and may people be changed and helped because they came to church today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. I think this morning my Christmas sermon takes a little bit of an odd twist to it. I call it my Christmas gift from myself to myself. And in a special way, maybe a unique way, you say, oh, it is the Scrooge that's interested in himself. I realize that. But I think if you'll hear me out, I think I can help us all. We see here in the story, Jesus is speaking with John, one of his disciples. John called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. Peter asked Jesus the question, who will betray you? Jesus said unto him in verse number 22, he said, what is that to you? Jesus was telling Peter, now you make sure you take care of yourself. I'll take care of that other guy. In verse 23, it states that this saying spread among the disciples. And in verse 23, he repeats it again. He says, what is that to thee? So Peter asked about somebody else, and Jesus says, you take care of you. And the Bible says that saying spread among the disciples. And later on, Jesus makes the very same statement again. You take care of yourself. You tend to yourself. You keep working on you. You have your hands full with your own faults. I think Jesus was saying to Peter, you better be careful or you're going to trip up and be the betrayer. Isn't that interesting? You better take care of you. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord is telling Peter that Peter must stay busy attending to Peter's spirituality. The Lord didn't want Peter so consumed on what others were doing that Peter did not minister unto Peter. I don't think that the Lord's talking about you and I feeling sorry for ourselves here. I don't think that he is talking to us about stinginess in our giving in life, but I do believe that much of the Christian life is about serving others. But I got to make something very clear to you, that if you don't keep you right with God, you won't serve anybody. We have some ministries around here that have been formed to help you and I to influence and help others. We have a missions ministry, and that helps us to help others. We have a Sunday school ministry, and that helps us to help others. We have our King's Kids, our Flyers Club, our Youth Ablaze. Those ministries help you and I, the ones that help lead, that helps us to serve others. I think the music ministry gives us a chance to help serve others. You look at the different service organizations, the Meals of Mercy, our fellowship ministry. You look at those ministries. You look at the hospitality ministry. Those are opportunities for you and I to serve others. But folks, I got to tell you something. If you don't keep you right with God, then you won't minister and help others. We've got to combine forces with Christ to keep ourselves right with God so we are usable to help other people. Listen to a couple verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." Here it talks about, it said, keep thy foot. And in a moment, I'll tell you, that's talking about you better work on your behavior in church. I said, keep thy foot. That's talking about you. Make sure that you behave in church. Because if you don't behave in church, then you're not going to learn what you need to learn to help other people someday to behave in church. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Notice the word thy. That's personal. In John 17:19, it says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." Today's sermon, I call it my Christmas gift from me to me. I'm going to tell you a story. A lady had married a man who was a very harsh man. She did not realize how harsh he was. But they were married. It didn't take long into their marriage that she began to realize that he was a bit heartless, very harsh. He didn't serve the Lord. She served God. She went to church. She was regular at going to church. He never one time gave her a Christmas gift. He was not thoughtful of her in those ways. She tried very hard, though, to be a good example to this husband of hers that was very difficult and increasingly more difficult to live with through the years. She was out and about just a day or two before Christmas one year. He had never given her a Christmas gift. They didn't have any children. She was out and about shopping, and she was in a very tragic car accident. She passed away just 24 hours before Christmas. He, believe it or not, was broken over it. It seemed like he didn't have much compassion toward her. He went home after this tragic accident, and he glanced underneath their Christmas tree. He had never put a gift under there. And he noticed there was one gift under the tree. He went over, and it had her name on it. And he thought, I did not put this under there for her. And he opened up the little tag that was on it, and it said, "My gift from me to me." Because she had never been given a gift from her husband, she prepared a gift for herself for Christmas. He sat there trembling on the floor. He decided he would open it and see what she had prepared for herself for Christmas. Took the ribbon off, tore the paper open, opened up a little box, and on a card, it merely said this, "My gift from me to me is that I want to live in such a way that someday my husband will be saved." He had heard the gospel. He knew exactly what she was talking about. And on his knees, he asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins, to come into his heart, and to be his Savior. her gift from her to her was going to be a life that was worthy of Jesus Christ, that would influence people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And very evidently, her life, that gift, was a precious gift because it was enough to influence her husband for the Savior. Today, I want to tell you, I think it would be a good idea for you and I, maybe, to work. Hey, maybe you ought to give yourself a Christmas gift from you. Say, what might it be? Let me explain. My gift from me to me is going to include the necessity of me learning how to give myself away. If you're here today and you say, I didn't get a gift from someone, and or maybe you sit here and there might be somebody under the sound of my voice. It's Christmas Day and you say, I did not get a gift from anyone. Well, give a gift to yourself. Why don't you give a gift to yourself, and why don't you decide that you will learn how to give yourself away? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. Here, the Bible's talking about you and I giving of ourselves. You know, we get so caught up in the monetary, and I'm glad that people give gifts, and I'm for people giving gifts. I enjoy giving gifts. Let me tell you something, folks. There's something that you and I could do for ourselves. And that is, we ought to be working on ourselves, and we ought to be fixing ourselves. We ought to, and one of the greatest things that you could do for you is get you close to God and get your life where it ought to be. There are people in here, let me tell you, you're a lady, you say, I'd like to have a new dishwasher at home. Well, let me tell you something more valuable than that, making sure your heart is where it ought to be for God, and that's something that you could give yourself. I think the greatest gift that you could receive for Christmas would be you making a commitment to you to get yourself in line as to where you ought to be with the God of the universe, so your life will truly be happy. Monetary things won't make you happy, and if they do, they won't make you happy for long. Most of the kids get their mechanism and get their toy, and it doesn't take them long. They set the toy aside and go play with the box, and the thrill of it's all gone. The new car only smells new so long, and then you want another new car. But life changes that change your life and change your home and change your relationships. Those things last forever if you'll let them. My Christmas gift from me to me, I just want to give myself. I want to give of myself. Do yourself a big favor. Learn how to give of yourself. Get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on somebody else. Learn to give yourself wholly, as it explains there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 15. I think one of the best illustrations I've ever heard, there was a Salvation Army bucket standing out front of a building. It was cold. It was in the north where it was snowy and icy. And there was a man standing out there, and he was ringing his bell. And he said to the people passing by, he said, what will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? What will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus? And you've all seen them with their big kettle. And what will you give Jesus today? An old bum walked by. He looked into his pocket. In his pocket he had a quarter, a dime, and a nickel. What will you give Jesus today? That old bum walked over and he took his nickel, stuck it in that pot, kind of straightened his dirty coat and walked on, proud of himself. He got about halfway down the block and he could hear the guy ringing the bell. What will you give Jesus today? He's given so much for you. That bum reached back in his pocket and looked, seen that he had a quarter and a dime. He walked back and took his dime. He put it in that pot. What will you give Jesus today? The bum began to walk away. Took about four steps. What will you give Jesus today? He's given so much for you. That bum looked again into his pocket and he had a quarter left. He took it back and put it in the pot. What will you give Jesus today? The bum started to walk up the street. The bell stopped ringing. And the Salvation Army man had gone in to get some hot chocolate to warm up. When the Salvation Army man came back out, setting in the bucket was the bum. He finally realized what Jesus really wanted. And folks, you want to know what Christmas is really all about? I give to you, you give to me, great. We give to the bus kids, great. We give to our grandkids, and husbands to wives, and wives to husbands. He'd really like you to climb in the pod and say, I think I'll give myself to God. You really want to know what Christmas is all about? Hey, you want to give yourself a really good gift from you to you? You give yourself to Almighty God like you're supposed to. And so, my Christmas gift from me to me, it includes me giving of myself. My Christmas gift from me to me includes my behaving myself. Behaving myself. In 1 Timothy 3:15 it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's talking about proper conduct in the church. You want to do yourself a real favor? Would you like to give yourself a prized possession? Would you like to give yourself something that is of tremendous value? Give yourself the gift of behaving right at church. That'll last you into eternity. Doesn't cost you a thing. It's good behavior. What are we talking about? We're talking about being friendly in the church. We're talking about learning to say please and thank you. We're talking about saying you're welcome. We're talking about watching out for one another. We should behave properly in the church. And that has to do with forgiveness and not being vengeful and not having jealousy and gossiping and not competing among ourselves. If you really want to do something big for yourself this Christmas, give yourself to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. Climb in the bucket. Stop tipping Him with your nickels, dropping by and seeing God every once in a while. I'm thinking you're doing Him a favor. Give Him your heart. There's somebody here, you need to get right with God. Wait, how? What else could I give myself? Not only to give my heart, but I'm going to give my behavior at church. I'm going to give myself the gift of good behavior at church. You won't regret that. You'll never regret that. You and I ought to want to protect the church of God. And I said this earlier, it's not my church, it's not your church, it's His church. And we ought to be serving in such a way that we realize this is God's church. Hey, I want to do myself a big favor. If I'd like to do myself something this Christmas, take good care of me, I might want to, as the Bible says, know how I ought to behave in church. Thirdly, my Christmas gift from myself to myself is going to include living a godly life. Let me read a verse to you. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, if you want to do yourself a big favor, we all tend towards some stinginess in life. Hey, let's cut loose and be stingy. Give yourself the gift of godliness in your life. You say, I'd really like to receive something big this Christmas. Live godly. That's pretty big. Why don't you decide to gift yourself a godly behavior? Get the sin out of your life. Listen, we have a Christmas tree out there in the foyer area, and we gathered some things for our bus routes for Christmas. Oh, there are Bibles and snacks and treats and some giveaways for the bus route and a broom to clean it with and some trash cans in which to gather the candy wrappers and all. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And thank you so much for all the sacrifice to make that Christmas tree what it is. And we've done a fantastic job raising those things. But I got to tell you something. God wants you to be holy. I'd rather if you bought a baseball and put it underneath that Christmas tree, I'd rather you take your baseball back and you get your heart right with God for Christmas than to think that you could give a baseball down at the church and get off the hook with your ungodly living. You see, you want to do yourself a real big favor for Christmas? Live godly. You say, we all tend to want to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving. I think it's more blessed to give than receive. It didn't say receiving is bad. It's not that receiving is bad. But boy, if you really want to receive something precious for Christmas, you fix you and you get your heart right with God. You make sure you give yourself like the bum. You make sure that you behave right in church. You make sure that you live a godly life. I think we could do ourselves a big favor by what? Helping ourselves to do the right thing. You know, as a pastor, if I could make you do right, I would, but I can't. I already know that. You can't make me do right. I can't make you do right. I can remind you to do right. But one of the greatest favors you'll ever do yourself, one of the greatest gifts you could give you, is to get your heart right with God. Thank God for the gifts that we give. Thank God for the giving and all of that. But folks, our giving does not take the place of a holy or a godly life. You know, there are people in here. Even if you don't want to consider this a gift from you to you, make it a gift from you to God. Somebody here, God really would like to have something from you for Christmas. And that's a godly you. A totally surrendered you. A you that behaves properly in church. That's what he would like to have. Let me say number four, my Christmas gift to me from me will include me taking heed unto me. And I'll show you why. 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, take heed unto thyself. Who the Bible tells me. You are looking at Jeff Owens' own worst enemy. It's Jeff Owens. I'm the one that causes me the most grief in life. Listen, we live in a society today that wants to find someone to blame for all of our behavior. Folks, we all need to spiritually grow up and realize if you cuss, that's because of you. So, well, if my brother would have done this, well, the cuss word came out of your mouth. You were screaming at your spouse because of you. But she... But the screaming was coming out of your mouth. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame. Let's just take personal responsibility. Hey, you want a whopping big Christmas gift? You get you right with God. You get you holy. You control yourself and behave right in the church. You take personal responsibility. You start looking at yourself first and your spouse later when conflict comes. Get yourself under control. People in this room, you need to get yourself emotionally under control. It's one of the greatest things you can do for yourself. There's some of you, you need to get yourself financially under control. You have no control over the way you handle your money. There are people in here, you need to get yourself spiritually under control. You allow yourself to do wrong. Basically, what this scripture is telling us is take heed of thyself. In other words, you better keep an eye on your weakness and you better nail down your own personal weakness. You force you to do the right thing. That'd be a great gift that you could give to yourself for Christmas. That great gift is giving ourselves wholly to God. That great gift is behaving ourselves in church. That great gift, according to the Bible, is a godliness in our behavior. That great gift is us being cautious of our own weaknesses. I would say probably everybody in this room is about teenage years or above. You know your weaknesses. You know your weaknesses. You know where you fall short. Be a real good idea for some of you to look at your weakness and decide that this is going to be the year that you're going to get that thing under control. This is the year that you're going to work on that and you're going to make a difference. That'd be a great gift for you to give you. You say, that's a bit stingy. Well, believe me, God's going to prosper if you give yourself the right thing for Christmas. And the church is going to prosper if you give yourself the right thing for Christmas. And society is going to prosper if you would give you the right gift for Christmas. You see, this gift doesn't cost you any money. This gift doesn't cost you, you didn't have to go shopping. You just open up this book and it'll tell you everything that you ought to be doing with you maybe for Christmas. Let me say this, number five, I think my Christmas gift to me, from me, will include me helping myself from my self-inflicted failures. The Bible says, in that verse that I read a moment ago, 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, take heed unto thyself. At the end of that very same verse, it says, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The verse is not talking about salvation. The verse is talking about me salvaging my life after salvation. Can I recommend that some of you ought to decide that you're going to stop doing the things that cause you to fail? You leave God out of your life, you'll fail because of that. You overspend. Hey, there's nothing wrong with spending, but when you spend more than you make, there's something wrong with that. You cause you to fail. You cause you to fail because you're lazy. You cause you to fail because you won't get advice. You cause you to fail because you're unfaithful to church. You cause you to fail because you don't finish what you start. You cause you to fail because you make up excuses for yourself constantly. Look, there's some of you, you ought to take heed to yourself, and you ought to, the Bible says, save thyself. What's it mean? Take a look at you, figure out what your weakness is, save yourself. What's that mean? It means look at that weakness and decide that you're not going to let that weakness destroy you. You save you. Your husband, he may notice your weakness, but he can't change your weakness. And your wife, she may notice your weakness, but she can't change your weakness. And your parents may see your weakness, but they can't change your weakness. God looked at your weakness. God's not going to change your weakness for you. You'll have to get that done. But if you want to give yourself something precious for Christmas, my gift from me to me is me learning to give myself wholly to God. My gift from me to me is me learning how to behave myself in church. My gift from me to me is practicing godliness in my life. My gift from me to me includes taking heed to myself. My gift from me to me is me saving myself from my own personal weaknesses. My gift from me to me should include a desire to be pure in my life. And I'll tell you why. In 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Thyself. There's plenty of commands in the Bible as to what you're to give yourself, what you're to do with yourself, how you're to handle yourself. Somebody here needs to give a gift to yourself. You say, what's that gift? Purity. You young people that are under the sound of my voice, listen to me very carefully. You keep your body pure until the day you get married. You keep your body pure until and you say, I've already made a mistake, then you be pure from here on out. If you're married, you have a license to have a physical relationship with one person, and that's the person with whom you're married. Anything outside of that is either going to be adultery or it's going to be fornication, and it's sin, and it's wrong. You ought to want to give to yourself the gift of a good conscience and a purity, and that's a gift that you give to God, and that's a gift that influences society. Keep your mind pure. Keep your words pure. Keep your emotions pure. Keep your body pure. Keep your marriage pure. Keep your home pure. Keep your testimony pure. What a great gift. You say, I didn't really get anything for Christmas. Here, the Bible says you're to give yourself purity. Give yourself purity. You want a good gift? Give yourself purity. You want a good gift? Give yourself holiness. You want a good gift? Hey, don't allow yourself to fail in the areas of your weakness that you know are your areas of weakness. Guard yourself. Hey, you want a good gift? Give yourself proper behavior at church. You want a good gift? Climb in the bucket with the bum and give yourself to God. It's a gift from me to me. We ought to want to do right. I think my Christmas gift from myself to myself, I noticed that these words, is to learn when to withdraw myself. When should I withdraw myself? 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. You know what you and I have to learn? We have to learn when it's time to pull away from something, when it's time to pull away from someone. We should know when to withdraw ourselves from the wrong crowd. We should know when to withdraw ourselves from certain entertainments. We should know when to withdraw ourselves from certain temptations in life. Look, you both men and women that work in the workforce out there, there's a kindness and a friendliness that we will share while we're in the workforce. But you know when somebody begins to be flirtatious and you're married, well, when they begin to flirt, it's time to withdraw thyself. And, hey, there's nothing wrong if you're sitting there at lunch at your lunch break at work and some other people that are sitting there and they don't go to church and you're all just talking about fishing or you're all just talking about gardening. But I'll tell you something, when they start telling the dirty jokes, it's time for you to withdraw yourself. There's a way, look, you want to give yourself a good gift, learn to withdraw thyself. You tell you when it's time to retract. That doesn't mean that you have to take a baseball bat and hit him over the top of the head while you're withdrawing, but you ought to learn to withdraw thyself. From such, withdraw thyself. Do yourself a favor, withdraw from people that will tempt you to do wrong. Withdraw from your own weaknesses in life. Withdraw. Don't cater to those things. Withdraw. Hey, listen, be careful that you're... even if you get around the church, you get around the church and there are people that are gossipy and they talk out of turn, learn how to withdraw yourself. Now, I don't know of a problem like that. If we have one, I don't think that's happening, but you got to learn how to withdraw yourself. Some of you need to withdraw yourself from junk that you say on Facebook and stuff that you say while you're emailing people. Withdraw thyself. Withdraw thyself. Look, Christmas time, we like getting gifts. Let me tell you, one of the greatest gifts you could give you, if you would give you the gift of godliness and you would give you the gift of withdrawing yourself from things that will destroy your Christianity, and if you would give you the gift of purity and you give you the gift of behaving right in church and you give you the gift of giving your life to God, you'll never regret that. You'll never regret that. So if you didn't get something you wanted, I'm recommending some things that are not going to cost you a penny. You could make these things a gift to yourself today. The Grinch, you know, he's in it for himself. These things, they will help you. But they will help everybody. You getting control of you, you doing right, you living right. I'll tell you something. What a great gift, let me tell you. Moms, I can't think of a greater gift that you could give your children and grandchildren than a godly mom and grandma. Not a greater gift could be given. That doesn't have to cost you a penny. Dads, not a greater gift could be given than for a child or a grandchild. And even if they don't understand that for which you stand, you still have God on your side and you're still doing the right thing. You give your children and your grandchildren a good dad and a godly grandfather. And you children, you say, boy, I wish I would have had a lot of money to buy my mom and dad something. I'm going to tell you something, kids. Your mom and dad would give up every gift that you would ever give them if you would just obey and do right and stay pure and tell the truth and learn how to work hard and be a good Christian. They would give all the world just to have you do that. And all the money that we spend on all the gifts, I'll tell you, I would rather have obedience and purity and decency and godliness and holiness and trustworthiness and goodness and kindness than all the monetary gifts in the world. And you know what? That doesn't cost us a thing. And everybody here, you could spoil yourself rotten today. You be good. And you do that as a gift to you. And you do right. And you do that as a gift to you. You know something? We all benefit. Hey, spoil yourself. Go all out. Go for it. But all the gifts in the world, really not going to make anybody long-term happy. It's really not going to change anybody or anything. You know what really makes a difference? It's when you and I become what we're supposed to become. That is what produces happiness. And I'll tell you this, that's what Christmas was really all about. He came to set an example for me and you on how to live. And it was all, you know, he was a perfect example. He was a perfect example. We just need to follow that example. The man said, I wonder what could be in this package. I know I'd never given my wife a Christmas gift. So he looks in it. It was a gift from her to her. And it was a gift of living a life. She had told herself what she was going to do. She was going to try to live a life that would result in her influence helping her husband to see Jesus in her behavior. And he got saved. I think you and I ought to want others to see Jesus in us. The Bible says, Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Hey, you want to give yourself a great gift? If you're here, if you said in any one of these sections today, if you're here and you're not saved, you want to give yourself a great Christmas gift? Get saved. I can't think of a better gift. Already paid for. It's worth more than a million. Worth more than a billion. Worth more than a trillion. You can have it today. Paid for by another. The best gift you could give you is accept salvation as a free gift. Have you noticed all the best gifts are all attached to Jesus and doing right and doing the good thing? I'm not against bicycles and train sets. I'm not against doll babies and iPads. Give away. Give away. The most powerful gifts are the gifts when you and I do the right thing that then influences other people so they get influenced by the right thing. That's what Christmas really is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, please. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand so that I might see it? You say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Then, who here would say, Preacher, I think I could do myself a favor. Obviously, we all see this. While we're busy doing these things that are best for us, it's best for everybody. But we got to work on us. Who here would say, Pastor, I think there are some things I could do about me. And I see they would be for me. Maybe there's some changes in my life that would make a difference, and maybe it's the best gift I could give myself. I'm going to change me and make me a better Christian, make me a better servant for God. Would you raise your hand and say, I see some things. I think I know some things. There's some people here. If we had a bucket, you ought to climb in the bucket and say, you know, I'm going to give myself to God. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, I really do wish some of you would really take seriously what you just heard. You want to do yourself a favor. You really want to receive something valuable and precious. You take one of the items that I referred to today and you say, you know what? I'm going to give myself a gift. I'm going to start living holy. I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to get myself right with God. The greatest thing you could receive this Christmas is going to be a touch from Jesus and getting yourself closer to Him. I promise you that. And then everybody you love is going to be influenced thereby. That lady that passed the day before Christmas, what a gift she received. When she decided to live right, it resulted in her husband's salvation. Oh my, the impact that we could make if we would keep ourselves right. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you find yourself caught up a little bit too much in the what I get and the gifts, and by the way, I'm for them, but be careful. We get to the point where that's what it's all about. And we think, hey, you're not a good mom, you're not a good dad because you gave a lot of gifts. You're a good mom or a good dad because you learn how to control your temper. You are not gossipy. You're not full of revenge. You're not jealous. You're a good mom. You're a good dad. Not because you gave a bunch of things in a stocking at Christmas time. You're a good mom. You're a good dad because you keep your kids involved with Jesus. You're a good example. You changing you. Realize it, mom and dad. You're a role model to your kids. My Christmas gift from me to me is that I will give myself to God. How valuable. What a great gift. My Christmas gift from me to me is I'm going to work on my church behavior. My Christmas gift from me to me is going to be an attempt for a godly life. My Christmas gift from me to me is to take heed to myself and not practice the self-inflicted failures of last year. My Christmas gift from me to me will be purity. My Christmas gift from me to me is to withdraw myself when it's time to withdraw so I don't mess up my life. You can give yourself something that others can't give you. Somebody else, they can't give you a godly life. Somebody else can't give you the taking heed to yourself. You have to do that yourself. There are some things you can give you.